Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 27 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And in this episode, I talked to Todd David from Cadillac Barbecue. They're number 3 on the Texas Monthly Top 50, the most recent Texas Monthly Top 50, which is a remarkable feat. They're in Dallas, Texas. They're open 2 days a week, Thursdays and Fridays, and the first Saturday of every month. But doesn't mean that they're not putting out phenomenal barbecue. We talk about where he started, what he was doing prior to opening up the business, the barbecue business, and all the way through what it was like to find out that he was number 3 on Texas Monthly, to learn all about the different sausages they make and the work effort that he that's easy for me to say. The work effort that he has is just phenomenal. He's driven. He wants to be the best of the best, and is proven to be that case. Talks about a day that he spent with Daniel Vaughn, the barbecue editor from Texas Monthly. It's a really, really interesting interview. He's forthcoming about everything. I really think you'll enjoy it.
If you're liking these, please subscribe. I'll be adding at least 2 to 3 of these per week. Rate this. Let me know what you think. Check out my website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. I also have a YouTube page with a lot of barbecue interviews. It's youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. But enjoy this.
Well, good morning, Todd. How are you?
I'm great.
How's your day? What's your day looking like today?
So this is a prep day. So my day started, I probably got here about 6:30.
Okay.
Started making barbecue sauce, things of that sort. So we get a lot ready. We have time to get things ready since we're only open 2 days a week. So it's a little different than other places because we're not working against the clock, trying to get open for today.
Gotcha. Yeah, definitely want to talk about your the days that you're open and the times. But I want to kind of go back to what you did before this. You had a
it was a disaster recovery company.
Okay.
What we did is clean up messes from disasters. So we didn't storm chase. So we wouldn't have been going after the hurricanes per se.
Okay.
We probably would have gone to Houston.
Okay.
Most of our work was here in Dallas. We weren't a storm chaser. So we did all the high-rise buildings in the Metroplex here. Whenever they had a disaster, we went in and cleaned up the mess.
A disaster being a flood or something like that?
Most of it's water-related. It's amazing how much water runs through a building. You've got everything from bathrooms to sprinkler heads to coffee makers, ice machines. All that stuff has water lines.
True.
And those lines tend to break at some point. And so we would go in and clean up the mess. So we were 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, when in this business, you know, people think, well, the food business is long hours and cooking barbecues even longer than the food business. Mm-hmm. I'm used to it from my disaster days because at least here I know what my hours are going to be. In the disaster business, you could go home at 5 o'clock we had beepers back then. So your beeper would go off and it'd be an emergency call, and you turned right around and went back to work, and you may have missed sleeping that night because you could have been out of disaster until noon the next day.
And you had, and how big was your team?
We had maybe 15, 20 full-time employees.
Okay.
But we had access to a lot of people. We did on one job, we had 20,000 man hours in 20 days.
Wow.
So, which actually, it's one of the reasons we acquired the first smoker was to feed people at situations like that.
Oh,
so
that's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's where you could get labor if you needed to, because you're cleaning up. Cleaning is as basic of a skill as you kind of get to. So a lot of it is hauling out debris and all kinds of things. In that case, it was broken glass and papers that had blown everywhere from the tornado literally hit downtown Fort Worth. I think that was 2001.
Was this a family business, or was this something that you?
Gosh, if you went way back in time, how far back in history you want to go?
About as far as you want to go.
One of my first jobs of my own jobs was I started a window washing business probably when I was 15, because I actually started on my bicycle. And that business grew to where that's what I did in the summers when I was in college, was wash windows. And we washed windows and cleaned carpets. This was in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
So a lot of trees, gutters just would get packed. So we washed windows and cleaned gutters was a big business for me. When I came to Dallas, I had a degree in accounting. And when I left that business, I started a window washing business here in Dallas. in the one of the nice areas, Highland Park, and it was called Park City's Cleaning and Restoration. And one thing kind of led to another. So you start in the carpet cleaning business. I actually started in the window washing business. Then we got in the commercial carpet cleaning business once we got in the carpet part of the window washing. From window washing, homeowners and people kept asking, well, do you know anybody that cleans carpet? So having that little entrepreneur bug and not knowing anything about that. Mm-hmm. My neighbor in an apartment had been in it. He kind of walked through it. We went after commercial business. Once you were cleaning the carpet in a commercial situation, let's say a law firm, the next thing you know, a pipe breaks in their space. The first person they call is the carpet cleaner. So that's how we got the disaster business. Once you do water, then you have to do fire. And then the next thing we were doing mold remediation, crime and trauma cleanup. So going in after somebody expired for whatever reason. Sometimes it was a shooting. Sometimes it was suicide. Mm-hmm. Sometimes somebody just elderly. Mm-hmm. So you learned as you went. So no, it didn't come. It was learning. It was on the job learning. Uh-huh. And there was no business plan to ever get into the restoration business. It just evolved.
So, now, did you have the barbecue bug during those times, or were you barbecuing on the side on weekends? Or
I had probably started barbecuing when I was young. Growing up in St. Louis, barbecue was a, you know, it's that noun verb thing. It was mm-hmm. both. And so my mom took us to all kinds of places. My mom and dad would barbecue in the backyard. That was that fun experience of what barbecue was all about. And I think that's why it's still so popular in the whole country. It's kind of an American thing.
Yeah.
And so I can remember a date, again, on my bicycle. Going to a park, I don't know if you remember back, the parks used to have these little grills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Little squares about this big, and you threw some charcoal in. And I can remember taking pork steaks and a bottle of Ball's barbecue sauce. Then we rode out to the park, and I gathered some sticks and started a fire and I had a little bit of charcoal, I think, in my backpack and threw all that on, and we grilled up pork steaks.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, and so it's kind of always been a hobby or a thing I enjoyed. When I came to Dallas, which was in the 70s out of college, my second apartment was located on the pool on the second floor. Uh-huh. And I was in a new apartment complex here in Dallas. And so everybody was new, so you met people at the pool. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of cool. And I would sit up on the balcony and cook barbecue on a Weber kettle.
Uh-huh.
That's how I got to know people. Uh-huh. And, you know, we cook for my dates and stuff like that. So it was a social ticket. It's been something I did. And then, like I said earlier, when we had large disasters, use a lot of temp employees. Mm. And at lunchtime, they tend to disappear because they think they're going to collect the money from the temp service because they checked in and didn't realize they have to check out. And so they would disappear on you at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways we kept them around is we would bring food in. So
that's
since
a smart tactic.
Them, yeah, or something of that sort. And as the years went on, I said, I started, as I visited different barbecue places, I learned more about larger barbecue smokers. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with this idea that, okay, we could feed the employees and feed the temps, and I could buy the smoker through the business.
Interesting.
So that's where the first trailered smoker came from. It was a Southern Pride.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. And they had a little 500 unit, held about 500 pounds of meat, came on the trailer. And
what were you smoking those days?
Mostly, I think, ribs and brisket.
Gotcha.
You know, I had smokers at the house. I had all kinds of smokers at the house. I had a small offset there that I bought on the side of the road in Dallas many, many years ago. And then we put it at the building. And then we came up with this idea of the name of the company that I had. After the big tornado, we split the company into two divisions. We had a carpet cleaning business and we had a restoration business. And we split it into two companies, and they both had separate names, and I eventually sold them off one at a time also. Well, the restoration business was called Restorx, R-E-S-T-O-R-X.
Okay.
And came up with this idea of, we had this huge warehouse where we parked all the trucks and kept all this drying equipment. These were commercial jobs, so you had to have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. So we had this big, big warehouse. Anyway, so we said, okay, on the, I think it was the first Wednesday of each month, we're going to invite our customers over for what we called Relax at Restorx to come have a barbecue lunch. There wouldn't be any vendors, nobody to bug them, no salespeople. It would just be their camaraderies.
Excellent.
Okay. And so when we were feeding 400 people a month for a free barbecue lunch, and I had to buy a second smoker. So I bought another trailer. And it kept growing and growing. And of course, everybody's asking, will you cater and this and that? Well, I had a restoration business to run. I didn't have time to mess with barbecue. We picked up a couple small events. Emmett Smith had his golf tournament started in that time.
Okay.
And he asked me if I would do his barbecue for his first golf tournament. And then we did every golf tournament after that. But little things like that would come up every now and then. And we would figure out the catering part of it. And again, I have no background in the food business. I just enjoy barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I understand customer service, supply and demand, all those kind of things that are real important to being successful. But I couldn't, even today, I can't tell you how to properly, for instance, use a knife. I know how to use a knife for me,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have culinary skills per se. I don't know, if you ask me to bake a cake, I could bake it and follow the recipe, but I can't tell you why the cake, what the baking powder does. You know, I don't know any of that stuff. I don't want to know it either. Mm-hmm. So
that's really it. So you have the business acumen, and you can figure things out, and you have the entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. That's a different angle than most people come from.
You know what the restaurant business is like. I don't. Mm-hmm. You've talked to more people than I have. I've traveled to barbecue places all over the country, but I worked at one restaurant when I was 13. I worked at an Italian restaurant as a busboy, and 90 cents an hour back then. But anyway, that was my only real food experience per se. So I had no idea what was involved in that. But what you know and what it takes to be in the restaurant business and what I know today, nobody, I don't think, in their right mind, unless that's a family business, out of the blue being another business is going to volunteer to do that and work that hard. There's better things to do. And disaster business is a cash cow. It's paid by insurance companies, and it's like having an emergency room at the hospital. We saved businesses. We didn't save lives, but we saved businesses, and they needed us right now and right then. And there's a premium to pay for that kind of stuff. I got guys jumping out of bed and quitting their job because they don't want to jump out of bed. So it's an expensive, hard business to run. You charge a top rate to do that. So you don't go from that to another bit to the restaurant business, definitely not to make money. And we didn't intend to go in the restaurant business. My wife and I sold the disaster business. We sold it because we were tired of it. It wasn't fun anymore.
I was curious about that.
Yeah. Making money is easy. There's a lot of businesses you can do out there, and there's a lot of jobs you can get. And I've always felt that you'll be rewarded if you do well at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Hard at it.
Definitely.
And so I didn't sell that business to go into another business. I sold that business to get out of it. And we had built it, and I sold the carpet cleaning business years before that.
Okay.
So we were slowly building up our retirement and things of that sort, selling to companies. And as well as, and after 30 years, I had a pretty good income from it in addition to that. So to walk away from all that, one, meant you had to have a retirement. So at 50, I was too young to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what myself. I did play golf, a lot of golf back then, but I couldn't play golf every day. So we had people kept asking about the barbecue because of the little things that we did do in the monthly event. And Misty and I talked, my wife, and said, hey, what if we catered? We did something with this barbecue because I enjoy it, and we cater. We'll still be able to travel, do all the things we want, because in catering, you can work when you want, who you want.
For sure.
You can say no easy. And so you can be very selective at your customers. And so the first couple of years, that's exactly what we did is we traveled. Sometimes we'd go a month without working, without a job, mm-hmm. by choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we had things we wanted to do and see. My son was in college at the time. And we just took it easy. We played golf. She played in a women's group. I hung out at the golf course all the time. My golf game never did improve. But I had fun doing that. Mm-hmm. And we would take on some jobs. As the first year passed, that was real good. The second year, we took on a few more jobs. And then we started getting bills. You know, we had a facility that we had found this facility when we still had the disaster business. We had moved it out of the building in order to keep the health code people happy. They didn't like it in the restoration business uh-huh. once they got the end of it. So we moved it to its own building. And then we catered out of that building for a while. And then every time we cater, people are like, this is really good. How do we get it regularly? Mm-hmm. And where is it available? Well, it wasn't. And then Misty, who is great in sales, she handled the sales end of it. She'd go call on, you know, we knew everybody in all the big buildings already. Mm-hmm. So it was easy to her go call on and say, well, this is what we're doing now. So anytime you have a big event, let us do your Christmas party and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, okay, we want to come do a tasting. Where's your restaurant? We don't have a restaurant. So we had a few little obstacles. So then we came up with this thing of, okay, kind of like we did at Relax at Restore X. We said, all right, well, let's just open on Fridays for lunch only. And people can come check it out. They can come eat. They can come do what they want.
At that warehouse?
At this warehouse, yeah. So we took the reception area. And we had a table built for us with some cutting boards on top. And we set that up and we opened on Fridays. This was in 2013. We opened on Fridays only. At that time, it was 11 to 2.
Got it.
And you could come in and get barbecue to go. It was just a takeout shack. And there were no tables. Maybe six people could stand in line before the door. Mm-hmm. That's how close we were to the. It was just imagine a reception area with furniture taken out. We didn't need a reception area for what we did. Mm-hmm. The only one that sat in the reception area were applicants. Mm-hmm. So we did that. People would tailgate outside. They would improvise. We ended up putting a couple. Within a few months, they were waiting and waiting, and lines were already starting to form.
What year was this?
This was 2013.
Okay.
And it's 4 years ago. So, and we didn't have to, we had to keep making more barbecue and adjust to everything. At that time, we had one smoker and it was inside the building. It was an old hickory that we had bought. We were still cooking 100% with wood. We had had that built so that we didn't have to use the gas other than to start the fire for us. And of course, most of the media thought we were cooking with gas because of the name of the old hickory. And that's when I learned, don't let the media in your kitchen. So the ones that really knew us knew that we were cooking with wood, but we had to go over that hurdle a little bit that no, we don't cook with gas. We use gas to start our fire. Mm. And to this day, we still have that old hickory, but it's shut off as far as the gas. I mean, we can use the gas to light the wood.
If you wanted to.
So we went from Fridays. We had two problems. One day would not get us out of the black. I mean, out of the red, mm-hmm. into the black. We couldn't pay the bills on one day of takeout business. And because we weren't doing as much catering, because catering was usually around the weekend. Well, here we were open on Friday, so that kind of put a little bit of a niche in that. And of course, at that point, we were learning too that we didn't like catering. And the revenue's great, but that's about it. Mm. And we were doing this for revenue. We were doing it to enjoy the pleasure of what a barbecue is all about.
For sure.
And the event and being there with the people eating and so on. And we weren't doing that half the time. We were dropping tin pans of food off at somebody's business. All that is work.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so if you're not doing it for the revenue, which catering is good revenue for businesses that do it, but if you're not doing it for that purpose, then all you're doing is going through all this work, prepping it, slicing it, putting it in pans, dropping it off at somebody's business, going back, washing all your stuff, and on to the next day. And the second problem was you were attracting a crowd. We were attracting people and word was getting out through social media that we existed. And this little place that was takeout only wasn't quite satisfying that. And it's people go, well, you have a long line. What do you care? Well, you don't want to ruin people's day. You want to make their day.
For sure.
So you start looking at things that may upset them and you address the ones that you think are common and you can do something about. So then we said, let's add Thursday.
Okay.
And that's where Thursday came from. In order to do that, we had to remove two rooms to make the front area larger. Mm-hmm. And we put four common large picnic tables in where people could eat together, make friends. And we could hold close to 50 people inside, and we added two more tables outside.
Okay.
So we had four picnic tables outside and four picnic tables inside. And we still had the line go out the door because we didn't really work for the line. That worked for 2 years before we had to change that. And
were you cooking the same thing as you were for catering, or were you adding different items to your menu to kind of?
So we were cooking, I think from the beginning, we were cooking pork ribs, definitely from the beginning, brisket from the beginning, pulled pork from the beginning, turkey. Turkey was probably pretty close to the beginning. Store-bought sausage, our supplier sauce, someone else making the sausage to us making the sausage. Mm-hmm. We started making our own sausage probably after the first year.
And that makes a difference.
It makes a big difference. We had gotten a review. I don't remember if it was Daniel Vaughn or either a blogger or a critic that I respected that had said our sausage tasted like Eckrich sausage out of the grocery store. and that was a big enough knife to me. You know, I'm doing this because I love to, mm-hmm. and I want it to be great for people. And when I heard that from someone I respected, I'm like, okay, well, screw that. Okay, I'm going to make my difference. And that's what we did. And it took us, it didn't take us too long to figure that whole thing out. Our mild sauces today is called mild number 17. And it's called that because it took us 17 tries to get that recipe.
Oh, that's funny.
Great.
Okay.
And that's still our mild sausage. That's still our starting sausage that we used from there forward. But
how many types of sausage do you have?
We have four that we run every single week. And then we have, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen others that rotate through.
Okay.
Things like lamb and fig. And we have a chorizo with, I think, what the heck's with the chorizo? I don't know. We have one that's beer, bacon, and beef.
Oh, wow, you're killing me.
And we have a few different things that we've incorporated. We did the lamb and fig. We did another exotic meat. I can't remember what it was. But
your everyday sausages are the mild and then?
Our everyday sausage, we have a mild. Mm-hmm. We have a jalapeno and cheddar.
Yeah.
And the jalapeno cheddar this time of year becomes Hatch chili and cheese, which we take the cheddar out. We use a mozzarella and green chilies, which is a really good combination.
Oh, yeah.
And real popular. And we roast our own chilies.
Which is important.
We're actually roasting enough now that we will be able to deep freeze those and vacuum seal them to where we can carry the green chili into the first part of next year and still have that available. Oh, then great. We have a Texan, which is kind of the spicy Texan is a spicy sausage. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more of a what you expect in Texas, and I don't know today if anybody expects with all the what I expect from going to the older Central Texas type places, you know, that are more red pepper, salt and pepper. It doesn't have a bunch of exotic type things, and it doesn't have garlic in it, which is
like ones you would get in Lockhart, probably.
Yeah, a little bit more of that. Good fat content, a lot of beef, a little bit of pork. That's real popular. Then we make a hot link, which was made originally for our Toddfather. Our Toddfather is a sandwich that's kind of a signature sandwich for us. And so when we started making that way, way back, and it has all kinds of different flavors in it. It's a pork and beef sausage. It's, you know, whatever, 4 inches long, and it's perfect for that. And people only typically get it when they get that sandwich because it's not just one of our sausages. So, but it's a very flavorful. So when you make a sandwich like that, the sandwich has brisket, pulled pork, and the hot link on it. So you've got three meats. So all those flavors combine really well.
Dude, that's great. A lot of places there's not many places that sell four different sausages at any time.
No, Michelwatch does in Austin.
True, yeah.
And of course, if you go to, what's the place? There's a couple places that make sausage and sell it in.
Oh, like Southside or.
Yeah. You know, Southside has, I don't know how many sausages they offer a day, but they're in a neat operation. Great guys in a neat operation. So
great guys, and Myers are down there too. They're nice. Greg Myers.
Yeah.
Wow. That's sexy. So then, you're open right now. You're Thursday, Friday, and then you're also open on one Saturday a month.
First Saturday of the month. Okay. And the tradition since we've been open the first Saturday of the month has been to have our regular menu. Plus we'll smoke a whole hog that night before that Friday night. And so that comes on the menu.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And that's pretty much Carolina style.
That's good. So, that sounds so amazing. That's crazy. Now, what did it feel like when you found out that you were number three?
Well, it was probably one of the biggest shocks. It was exciting. It was a day. I mean, I'll remember that day forever probably, but I opened my computer up and Sarah Blokovich had written an article that popped up because someone had congratulated me, popped up on my email, titled something like Cadillac Barbecue's number one. And I knew the list was coming out that day. And, you know, everybody knew that was happening. And I wasn't looking for anywhere on the list. And a photographer had been here. So we had hoped that we made the list. We didn't expect anything like
that.
So
you didn't even know you made top 10.
Oh, no. No, and I never expected to. But I see this article, and Sarah's got the thing titled as Cadillac's number one. And I had to kind of look twice and read the detail, and it said we were number one in Dallas. Yes. Because if you took the Dallas group and ranked it. And then I read on and saw what – and I had to read it a couple times to really for it to sink in that did this really happen? Mm-hmm. And I called my wife and told her, woke her up and told her. And I then went out and told my guys because they're the ones that really made it happen. Sure. They do all the work. I get the credit. They do the work. And told them what happened. And it was just kind of, and then I went to business as usual. It was a.
Yeah. What day of the week was it again?
I believe it was a Monday.
I think so.
I believe it was a Monday. Mondays are real busy for us. We make all our sausage on Mondays and I spent the rest of the day doing what I do on Mondays. I mean, I had a lot of work to do, and I fielded my Twitter, Facebook, phone, all that stuff was going crazy. I kind of had to shut it all off. And I'm like, you know, to all this later, I called Daniel Vaughn to thank him.
Okay. Definitely.
And that was probably the only other outgoing call I made until my day had kind of come to an end. So.
Wow. That's. It's a big deal. Now, were you, so it was a Monday. So that Thursday was there a line that you hadn't had before? Cause I know you already had lines.
Exactly. So then we had to start thinking about that. Well, what's going to happen? And I believe that was a, I don't remember for sure. I think that was a first Saturday event also.
Okay.
Oh, so wow. We had Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I believe. So we had it immediately. We knew, okay, it's going to be crazy. Let's turn the quantities up a little bit. Well, for us to turn the quantities up, which we had already been doing a little bit because our business had been growing. We had filmed a TV show with Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
That was air in June. And word had got out about that a little bit. A couple other things we were voted for had gotten out. So our business was already on the incline increase. So we were already increasing our meat quantities on a regular basis. But they're small increments. You know, you go from if you're doing 25 briskets, jumping to 30 is a big jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking 30%. And we were probably in the 30s before Texas Monthly came out, I think. And once we got in the heart of it, we were in the 50s a day.
Wow.
For a little place like this, that's a lot of brisket.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And same with the ribs and the beef ribs and so on. And so we had to increase those for that week. But we just couldn't make enough. I mean, no matter how much we made, people were coming in. It wasn't just that there were a lot of people, but people were buying quantities that weren't normal for us. I mean, they were coming in and getting, you know, we had guys ordering 8 beef ribs at a time because we wanted to take them back and give them to everybody. So once the line is long, people are buying for other people.
For sure.
When the line is short, each person buys their own.
That makes sense.
Once the line got kind of wild, especially on Saturdays, people were buying for, sporting events, things of that sort. And in fact, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, we had opening week for college football. Well, we still have people coming to do the Texas Monthly tour,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Yeti cooler thing and all these stickers. Uh-huh. People are coming from all over the state. One of the smartest marketing things.
That was genius. So,
it was. And so it's brought people from all over to come do that. So
people love a scavenger hunt no matter what it is. It's in our DNA.
And no matter what it costs them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they have the cost of the travel, the hotels, their time. This is what so many people did for their summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And then they have to buy the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are expensive coolers they're getting. But it's they're on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a lot of fun doing it. And we love them coming in. We have fun talking to them and seeing where they're from and visiting with them, letting them taste different things. But the quantities kept going up and up. And we'd make more. And we in the last month, we've reached a point that we're ahead of the game now.
Gotcha.
So in the last month, we're not running out of any of the Holy Trinity. There's briskets left. There's even beef ribs left the last couple of weeks.
Oh, wow. So what do you do with that? Yeah. Is that something that you...
Most of it goes to the fire departments and the police departments. We're on the edge of Dallas in a little suburb called Farmers Branch. We're sit right on the border between the two cities. But the fire station for Farmers Branch is 2 blocks away. And those guys are big fans of ours. They bring... They'll have training classes and then all the stuff, they get emergency calls and have to leave. But so we take the barbecue over there. There's another fire station near my house in Plano. We take it there. We take it to the police station. We take it to Addison, which is the next town over. So most of it goes to first responders.
That seems like a commonality amongst barbecue joints, which is wonderful, which really makes me so proud that people do that.
We've always done that because we used to do it with our catering. If we did a catering event that we were taking the food to, then any full pans came back with us. Partial pans we left for the customer, but they don't know what to do with more than one pan of brisket. So yeah. if we missed on our numbers and had full pans, it was like, where's there a large group? Well, the police station, the fire station, there's large groups and they don't have any food. So they're very appreciative of that. You can't take it to homeless places because they're not allowed to have outside food come in. Health reasons, you know.
That makes sense.
real strict on what can come in and out. Fire guys, they know we're community people. Mm-hmm. They're not about
that. And those guys love that.
They love that. And so we helped them out a lot.
So how did you come up with the name? Was it you or Misty that came up with Cadillac?
The name Cadillac, we had gone through all, I don't even remember some of the other names, but we'd gone through a lot of names of what's going to say. All my business have always been trying to be the best at what I do, not the biggest. I don't care about size, but it's always been that quality thing of, okay, do your best, achieve excellence, and strive to win. And so we were searching for what we were going to do, and we were at a wedding, and was it North Dakota? Somewhere up that way. And we went into a bar where they were having a dinner one night for a big group of people. And the bar was called The Cattle Act. And it was two words, cattle, AC. And it was a bar. And out front was their logo was this cartoon cow driving the Cadillac, the car. And rested his arm up there. And that was their little logo thing. And it was like, ah, that's it. Because the cattle and the cow, the meat and the brisket and Cadillac, thinking, okay, the car means one of the better cars. Uh-huh. And it just kind of all came together. And we had actually talked to them about copying that, the whole thing. And one partner said we could. And then when it came time to get it in writing, they said we couldn't. So we had to go to an attorney and figure out a different spelling, different way to propose. We were able to be original then and come up with our own logo and our own idea. And Montana is where the bar was.
Oh, Montana. Montana. Okay. I'll Montana. Put a link. Does it still exist?
I don't know if it does or not.
I'll do some research just for fun to see.
Yeah, they served food and of course it was a bar, but they didn't have any barbecue. They didn't do any barbecue. Yeah, yeah. It was just burgers and nachos and typical bar food.
Well, that's so funny. I was always curious how you came up. I knew it was Cadillac, like the car, but I figured there might be something deeper.
And then we went through, and again from Texas, you know, spelling it like a cow became really easy.
Of course.
You know, it's kind of the Texas way you would spell Cadillac is starting with the cattle first.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It worked out real well because of where we were. And people get it mixed up all the time. They want to call it Cattle Jack, Cattle Back. They throw all the kind of letters in there. Once we, and Misty's real good at correcting them, and so am I, but once you correct them, they never forget our name. Because they're like, Cadillac. Oh, that makes sense.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
And they never forget it. So it's really worked out well for us. It's been fun to do some things with.
I think the first time I saw it, my brain wanted to make a cattle back for some reason. I don't know
why. Yep. Definitely. Yeah, I don't, not quite sure why, but yeah, that's the way the eyes read.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny how we popped a little, like, why would you put a B in there? It wouldn't make sense. So,
right.
So what else should people know about Cadillac? Or what do people not know maybe that they should know? The lines are still long. Is there a specific time that makes sense for people? Or
on Thursday, and they may wait either not at all, or they may wait 20 minutes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We don't run out of food. People think that after 1 o'clock, we're out of food because we close at 2 o'clock. We only close at 2 because that's when the food started running out. And really, most people have been to lunch by 2 o'clock. I don't know too many people that go to lunch after 2 except us.
Yes.
And, you know, people in odd situations like that. But most people eat lunch somewhere in the 11 to 2 o'clock range. We only went to 10:30 because people wanted to take it back to the office to eat.
That makes sense.
They do have a short time. They could get out a little bit early. And so we couldn't really go any longer than 2 because no one really goes to lunch after 2. But they could leave early. Mm-hmm. So the 10:30 worked out well for a lot of people. We'll have a line out there at 10:30. When we open, and we usually open early. We usually open sometime between 10:15 and 10:30, okay, depending on how many pre-orders we have. Because our pre-orders pick up their food at 10.
Okay.
large groups that have planned ahead and are having some kind of event. Once they're out the door, we make sure everything's set, get all the food brought up that's been in warmers, you know, sides and things like that, get everything set. And then as soon as we can, we open the door. And we don't want people waiting in line any longer than they need to. I don't like to wait in line. I don't want people to. And we've done so much before Texas Monthly, but definitely since Texas Monthly, to make it as quick as possible. We process tickets in less than 50 seconds per party. We're closing out tickets.
Oh, that's streamlined.
You know, and on Friday of last week, which was probably the highest number we've done, I think we did close to 300 tickets in 3.5 hours.
Wow. That's
so, you know, a lot of it are small. They're sandwiches. Yeah. And so that's on that day. It just depends. You never know how much food to make. And people are like, how can you run out of food? It's so easy. Okay. One guy comes and says, hey, can I get 3 whole briskets? We're having some event. Okay. Well, he just took a certain percentage of your stock out. You know, Guy comes in and gets 8 beef ribs. We had a guy, was it last week or the week before, get 4 slabs of beef ribs. So that's 12 beef ribs.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well,
and that's not $40. That's a lot. That's
expensive. A lot of, yeah. And not even from the money standpoint, but so let's say we're making 20 slabs of ribs and some guy buys 4. He just put a dent in your supply for the day.
Yeah. A fifth of your
slab. We didn't sell them, but we hope to sell them to the whole group. And people just don't get that sometimes. Unfortunately, we try to explain it to them that we believe we make enough for the crowd we get. We know how big our crowd is. We don't come anywhere near our capacity of our smokers. Mm-hmm. Okay. We can make a ton of food out of here if we wanted to, but we also want to sell it. I don't want 4 slabs of beef ribs left over either.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. We had 8 slabs left over one day last week. That's what's
wow.
Numbers are finally ahead of the people coming in. Mm. So now we'll tweak that a little bit and we'll try to come up with that even amount of what's good for the customers and what's good for us.
Wow.
And we try to get everybody fed. We try to get them fed in a reasonable amount of time.
So you're not gonna be waiting 3 hours. It's not a 2-3 hour thing.
Not even a 2 hour thing. It's 2 hours. We've had people we know time it for us, like on a Saturday and things of that sort. And I've gone outside the last Saturday that we were open, the line went around the building. Mm-hmm. And granted, it's a lot of people. People have learned to bring their chairs and their coolers and have a good time with it because they come hours before we open. And they'll spend more time waiting before we open than they will once the doors open.
Gotcha.
And I went to someone at the very end of the line. And when he came through the line, I asked him how long he had been waiting. And it was just over an hour.
Wow.
And so there were people that came behind him that may have waited longer because they had to wait for that whole group to go through and so on. But that first group goes through pretty quick. So, and that keeps getting smaller because the people that were traveling from all over the state that had to go the first week and had to go the first month, they live here now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hopefully they'll come back again. Other people will come. People keep hearing about it. But that
initial surge.
Sure. That Friday after Thanksgiving rush, it's over. Initial surge is gone. The crowds are still bigger than they've been because people here are now more aware than they were.
True.
The awareness, gosh, we're so grateful to Texas Monthly. I don't know how to tell you. It's amazing what effect their readership has on what goes on.
Definitely.
You know, and who has more credit than Daniel Vaughn? I mean, he's the greatest in the world at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone agrees with all of his, what he likes and what he doesn't like. But in whole, what he does, there's nobody better.
And no one else does what he does at all.
No one else does what he does. And he's a great guy. I had the pleasure to spend a day with him a couple years ago on a deal I won at an auction that I got to spend a day with him. I paid a lot of money for that. But it was kind of neat to see what he does.
Did you spend a day eating with him?
I spent a day traveling with him.
Okay.
and eating with him.
Yeah.
And I spent a day seeing what his typical day is. And
that's fascinating. That's another whole nother interview.
It's a whole nother interview. It's spectacular. It is a job. Mm-hmm. Okay. He works his ass off. He has to consume a lot of food. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if it's no good, he doesn't eat it. Mm-hmm. But you're tired at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I almost fell asleep coming home. We didn't get home. Gosh, it was probably 8 or 9 o'clock till he got me back to the kitchen. And he picked me up, I think it's 7 o'clock in the morning with a bag of donuts.
Oh, that's okay.
That's how we started. So it was a fun day.
That's really cool.
Know him a little bit. We talked more about our lives than we did about barbecue. Mm-hmm. And, to get to know somebody under the magazine is probably unbelievable for them. And, we'll be at the event they have in Austin as a participant this year instead of a attendee.
Okay.
And that will be.
That's October. Is that us? Actually, November. November 2nd, I think, or something.
First Sunday, I think.
Okay, yeah.
We've never done anything like that. And so that'll be a lot of fun. And getting to meet people and sharing barbecue is just as cool as it gets.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, that we look forward to that. My son lives in Austin, so I get to see him while I'm there.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. That's excellent. I'm going to try to make it out to that too. So I'd love to meet you in person.
I've attended it twice over the last 5 years or so. And have a great time at it every time I'm there.
Yeah, I went about 5 years ago, I think, when they were doing
it. It's hot, it's crowded, but it's barbecue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's a great time. And the barbecue community is an amazing community.
It is. I have, you've never been to our place, but the main wall that's been here since 2013 when we opened has a ton of pitmasters on it.
That's what I heard.
And, those are legends to me. I'm still that guy that went out and visited barbecue places all over because it's a hobby of mine. And even today, I mean, I went to Hutchins Barbecue last week with my wife. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the good places that we like in Dallas. That and Lockhart are great places, and they're in the part of town where we live. So if we want to go out to eat, sometimes I don't eat a lot of barbecue here. There's not a lot left to eat. I don't sit down and eat here. So sometimes that's the meal I want. Mm-hmm. And we may not be traveling. When we travel, we go to barbecue places just like I have my whole life. Mm-hmm. But we'll do that there. So, it's still, that community is a great community. I don't know anybody that I've met that has a barbecue place that isn't a genuine great person. Mm-hmm. People are like, why do you have your competitor? Those are not competitors.
No, it's all part of the world.
I don't look at it that way. When I was in the disaster business, we had competitors. I know what competitors are.
Exactly.
They're people that try to steal your customers. Mm-hmm. Okay. And try to underbid you and so on. If I was catering, we'd have competitors, people like Dickies that would do it for half the price or whatever.
True.
But no, there's not enough restaurants here serving barbecue for the amount of demand there is. Okay. There's still, even though there's great barbecue now in Dallas, there's still not enough of it.
Oh yeah.
And there's no competitors. Those are great guys. Work their tails off. I do this twice a week. I don't know how they do it 7 days a week. Some of them meals a day, and it's hard work.
Oh yeah.
I still work at it very hard when I do it. It's such a passion, and I'm going to try to get it. The effort's the same. I just don't do it as many days.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Todd.
You're back now.
I'm back. Okay. Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time. I definitely appreciate it. And thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And keep eating barbecue and talking about it.
Excellent. And I'll be out there this fall. Have a great day.
Okay, great. Look forward to meeting you in person.
Excellent. Yes, I'm looking forward to that for sure. All right. You take care.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.